Last night about 7 o'clock, we received a phone call. And when Jan answered, she heard a tiny voice say, "Can you and Grandpa talk with me on Skype tonight?" Well, suddenly we were faced with a dilemma. Continue with our plans for the evening or talk with Avery? Now, nobody's in doubt about what we decided, right? And one of the reasons that was not a difficult decision in that case is because communicating with our granddaughter is both one of the things we enjoy most and one of our most important responsibilities. While they are at a distance, to maintain a relationship, strive to have a godly influence. And there, have I justified the phone call last night enough? That was not a difficult decision. But other situations are much more challenging for us, and somehow the right choice doesn't always seem quite so clear. Sometimes there's a confusion in our minds between what we could do, what might even seem pressing at the moment, and what we ought to do. Those are not very often, they aren't always the same thing. And that presents to us a recurring problem. Our pressures of life, our personal pleasures, the things that we like to do the most, they can often distract us from what is most important in life. Now, Jesus Christ lived a real life on this earth. He faced these kinds of challenges as well. But as we see from our passage this morning, he knew exactly what to do. Not because he's God. He is God, but that's not why he knew exactly what to do. This passage presents to us another avenue of access to clarity and to purpose in life that enabled him to make difficult choices. Choices that in the eyes of other people sometimes did not seem to be the right one. But he knew exactly what to do. And the passage today portrays him accessing that information in a way that is accessible to us as well. A lesson of this passage today is that the work of ministry is our highest priority. That ministry comes in many different forms, yes. But the work of ministry is, in fact, our highest priority for all of us. No matter what your position might be, no matter what your job might be, no matter what your home life is like, no matter where you are in your station of life today, ministry is your most important responsibility. Because that is true, you must follow God's path every day. Make sure that every day you are on the right path and are at the right place where he wants you to serve him. How can we know that? How is that accessible to us? Well, let's look at this passage. We'll start in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1. And we are going to start very early in the morning. I'm convinced that's not just circumstantial. Happened to be the time of day that this happened. I think this is purposeful as well. And Mark takes note of the time of day because that is part of Christ's key to knowing exactly what to do each day. Not the exact time of day, and Mark doesn't give us an exact time of day, But the portion of the day is very important here. But even more important than that, what was Christ doing at that time of day? Verse 35, Mark portrays him as rising very early in the morning. How early was that? Well, he gives us a little more insight when he adds, while it was still dark. Now, they didn't have daylight savings time back then, so there's a little difference from what we experience at some times of the year. But it's enough here for us to know this was pretty early. Did he perhaps get to bed earlier the night before and he just didn't need that much sleep? That's not very likely. Remember what happened the day before from our passage last time? It was the Sabbath day. And on that Sabbath, he preached. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then when the sun went down is when the crowds came and flocked around the door. He was likely busy until quite late that night. His choice to rise early on that day was not because he had gotten plenty of sleep the night before and it was a fairly easy schedule. It's quite the opposite. As Mark will continue to portray for us, Christ had very full days. None of us will have the excuse in comparing ourselves with his choices in this and following passages to say, well, he doesn't know how busy I am. Well, the fact is, he knows exactly how busy you are. The reality is, we seldom appreciate how busy he was. He had a difficult schedule. With that difficult schedule, with a late night of ministry the evening before, why on this morning is he rising early in the morning while it's still dark? Mark tells us, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Why outside? Well, this is not his house. The houses in Capernaum were quite small. Enough room for everybody. And, of course, there were guests there that day, that evening. Enough room for everybody to have a place to lay down, but they did not have separate bedrooms. To be under a roof was all they could expect and all that Peter could offer. For Christ to spend some time alone in prayer, he had to leave the house. There was no corner that wasn't occupied. He went out then to a desolate place, further emphasizing for us he just needed to be alone with God. Now, that presents a challenge for us to understand as well. Why would he have to be alone with God when he is God? Isn't there just this constant communication going on? Isn't he always in fellowship with God? Well, the answer is yes, but even that is not because he's God. It's because that is available to every person. But that's not what's going on here. This is not just fellowship. This is not just being with God. This is purposeful prayer, of which we get no quotations. We get no insight here as to what was he praying for. But does that mean we don't know what he was praying? You know, I've got a guess here, and it's one of those guesses where I'm pretty confident in this one. I put it in the category of a guess because this text doesn't tell us. But there was another occasion when Christ was praying, and on that occasion, the disciples were close enough to hear what was going on and realize this is not the way it works for us. We don't pray this way. And so when he got done that day, they said, would you teach us how to pray like that? And his answer was yes. And he provided on that occasion the text that Chris Pennington used for his message last Sunday evening. That was a great blessing to all of us. The Lord's Prayer, some suggest that should be better called the disciples' prayer. I don't think so. I think the Lord's Prayer is a good label for that. He shared it with his disciples, but it was his first. I can't imagine Christ on that occasion saying, well, actually, what I was just praying is just for me. You know, me and God are a little different than you are. Let me give you a different prayer that'd be good for you. No, they heard him pray, and they said, we want to be able to pray like that. I think what he shared with them through the Lord's Prayer is that this is the pattern that I use. You use it too. We are patterning ourselves after the Lord himself. So on that basis, I have no question. I think I do know what he was praying that day. He was praying that God would use him as his servant, that God would receive glory, that God's will would be accomplished in his life that day, that God would provide for his physical needs, that God would keep him from temptation, that God would enable him to minister to people effectively. As we saw last Sunday night in the message, the Lord's Prayer is essentially a presentation of ourselves to him that he might use us for his glory that day. Christ also is dedicating himself to God's service for that day. And that he included in that prayer the phrase, give us our daily bread, is an indication of the need to pray, not just that prayer, but to follow that pattern every day. Every day, the need to devote ourselves to the Lord. So the message of verse 35, already, just from what we see here about what Christ was doing early on this morning, is that God's people must depend upon his guidance. How is Christ going to know where he should be, what he should do, how he should serve the Lord on this day? How he knows is he asked the Lord. And he presented himself that morning as God's servant to direct however God wanted to. Your will be done today. I don't want to be making my choices based on my own preferences. I want to serve you. I want to accomplish your plan. I want to bring you honor. I want to use the strength that you provide, all in your service. And so already he's here presenting an example for us. And that example is very simply, begin each day in prayer. And not just generic prayer, pray for all the things you want God to do for you that day. Begin each day in devotion prayer. That is, devoting yourself to God. On the basis of Christ's example, follow the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Reaffirm your commitment to God's plan for that day for you, whatever that turns out to be. Have some personal time of devoting yourself to the Lord. All right, now just based on verse 35, let's entertain the possible excuse that sounds something like this, and we all know this is familiar for us individually. Well, I try to pray whenever I can, but I do have a very busy schedule. I have to get up early in the morning already in order to get to work on time, get everything ready. And, you know, we have lots of variety here among us in our various schedules. Some get up at 7 o'clock, and by their definition, that's early. Others are getting up by 5 o'clock or earlier, and by everybody's definition, that's early. But it doesn't matter how early, at what time of the morning you have to get up, just in order to meet your obligations. However early that is, you could get up a little bit earlier. And on that basis, there isn't anyone among us who can legitimately say, I just can't fit it in. According to Christ's example, he made time because it's not an expendable option. It's a requirement in order to know how to serve God that day. Present yourself as his servant. Now it is God's responsibility to make sure that all the circumstances that you encounter that day accomplish his purpose. If you have not offered yourself as his servant for that day, if you have not devoted yourself to him, well, now you're taking a chance. Maybe the things that happen will be according to his plan, but maybe not, because maybe you aren't following his path that day. If you don't step onto the path, you have no guarantee you are in the right place. Devoting yourself to the Lord is essentially stepping onto the right path of service for God again today. And you see how, in that perspective, this is not optional. You only have one way of knowing you're on the path of service to him, and that is to step onto that path by devoting yourself to him. Now, by way of contrast, we have some, Mark now introduces to us some other individuals who have a role in this account. But we have no indication that they followed Christ's example that day. Now, granted, this is very early in Christ's ministry, so I'm not faulting the disciples. They may not have had this lesson yet. This might have been the day that they started to realize, how is it that he always is serving God? And for us, it's kind of hit or miss. And maybe this was the day they got insight about that for the very first time. But whatever experience they've had in the past, on this day, there's a contrast. Because now as they show up, verse 36 introduces Simon, that's Peter, and those who were with him, they were searching for him. Christ is out in a desolate place. There are hills all in that vicinity, all around Capernaum. You can go into a little ravine. He could have been secluded there. So they're searching all through the hills, looking for him. They finally find him, and I don't expect that this took hours. Probably by the first light of day, they noticed he wasn't there. They started looking for him, and maybe a half hour later, encountered him. And in verse 37, they express to him what they think Christ ought to do that day. They found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. Okay, who would that be? That would be everybody back in Capernaum, back in the village. Why would they be looking for Christ? Well, they had heard the news that everybody who brought their sick, or as a sick individual, came themselves and appeared in front of Peter's house, that Christ healed them. Now the news has spread through others in the village and maybe even beyond the village. And so it looks to Peter and the others like, well, everybody's looking for you, as if to say, isn't this wonderful? What an exciting day this is going to be. We'll usher them in, you will heal them, and people will walk out and they'll just be amazed at what we're doing. I think there may be another factor here. And if they aren't enamored with the popularity of what is going on, and who of us would not be? The whole village is coming, and you're right at the center of that. All right, this would be hard to turn from. This is really enticing. But I think that the other aspect of this that really connects with where we live is that this just seems to be what you have to do. People are coming. People have expectations. We should meet those expectations. So who's determining the schedule? So often we find that it is other people determining the schedule. Somebody sends an email, and oh, suddenly that has to be my priority. I better read that email. Somebody sends a text. And sometimes people even make phone calls in our day. All of these things just seem to be the pressing issue of the moment. And it is possible for us to go through an entire day and have other people, just because they have access, determine what the schedule is. You see, now maybe that's exactly what God wants for you. Maybe that particular email is a God-ordained interruption to your schedule. Okay? And if that's the case, absolutely. That needs to then take precedence, and fine. But maybe it's not. Maybe we're just having difficulty discerning between the urgent and the important. That's a difficult call. A lot of things press for our attention. This is urgent. Oh, I better deal with that right now. And in order to do that, we take something else that is more important and move that aside for a while. Maybe not get to it all day long. What Simon and those who were with him were suggesting is, Lord, we think we know exactly what you ought to do. You ought to come back from these hills and come back to the village and do the things that people want. More people want to be healed, so you should come and heal them. We often find others try to divert our focus away from what God wants us to do. We're beginning to feel a little tension here, though. Isn't he supposed to be healing people? Isn't that why God sent him? See, that's what Simon and the others would suggest at that point. But Christ has a different idea. And he expresses that in verse 38. He said to them, they're ready to usher him down. Come on, we better hurry. People are waiting. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. Essentially, he's saying, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going back down to Capernaum. We will not be continuing to provide healing for all those that have assembled there. We are instead going to take this path because it leads to the next village. And then there's another one after that, another one after that. What's Christ doing here? He is discerning the path of ministry that God has outlined for him for that day. How does he know that that's what God wants him to do? He asked. He offered himself. I want to be your servant today. You direct the path. Your will be done. Christ was no doubt fairly comfortable back in Capernaum. He had a place to stay. There were other places he went. He didn't know if he'd have a roof over his head that day. This is fairly comfortable. This is familiar. He is certainly getting a lot of appreciation. How does he know that's not what God wants him to do? Because when a servant of God offers himself to accomplish God's purpose, God makes sure they know what's next. The disciples, okay, we get no indication that they spent any time devoting themselves to the Lord. So on what basis are they making their choice? We think you ought to come back down to town. On what basis? They're guessing. They haven't asked God. Seems to make sense, humanly speaking. This seems like the right thing to do. You hate to disappoint people. You see, they're just guessing. The only one who knows what to do is the one who devoted himself to God. You see why it's so important that we not press the distinction between, well, some of them are just men and one of them is God. That's how he knows. No, that's not what Mark is telling us, because the difference he's highlighting is Christ prayed. They didn't. There's the distinction. Christ now has a clear view of what's really important. Healing? All right, now that is important to a degree because his healing ministry was confirming his authority to call for repentance, turning from sin. But is that then the purpose of his coming? Is that the center of his ministry? No, he already has a clear idea of where the real purpose is because he's connected with God that morning, and he expresses that in verse 38 as he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also." Now, it's likely he also healed at the other towns. But that doesn't even get a mention here because the real reason to go is to preach the gospel. That was his assignment from God. Other days it would be to go to different places. Sometimes it's going to be to go to Jerusalem. As chapter 2 opens, the assignment from God will be to go back to Capernaum again. The point is that every day the servant of God has a path to follow that God expects him to be on that day. And on this particular day, it's go to other villages. He is now discerning fresh priorities with his fresh commitment to his God-given mission. Now he has purpose, he has focus. He knows what to do. He knows. The others are just guessing. Now, we have an option every single day to be in one of those two categories. You can either know, you can either be confident that as you proceed through the day, that everything that God brings into your path is part of his path. Because you committed yourself to that path and you are striving by his grace to stay on that path all day. In that case, every interruption takes on a whole different perspective. Every interruption in that case is a God-appointed opportunity to serve. But if you're not on that path, you just don't know. Maybe not. So you can have uncertainty, you can have hesitation, or you can have clarity and purpose. See how Mark is urging us here? Follow Christ's example. So how did it work out? Verse 39. He actually fulfilled the priorities that God set for him that day. He went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, exactly what God sent him to do that day, and casting out demons. Okay, there are two aspects to this. He's presenting the gospel, and he's portraying the power of the gospel to change lives. Okay, now, he can cast out demons, and he can perform miracles and healings, because after all, he is God. But we have the same power of the gospel. The power of the gospel to change our life so that we can portray the gospel in front of other people. The opportunity to show that God can change your life too. Look what he's doing in my life. All of this then portrays the work of ministry. Now that was Christ's day. Our days aren't the same. Our plan, God's plan for us is not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same for any two of us here in this room. But there is a path for you each day. And the message of this passage is you need God's guidance. You need to ask for it. You can't start a day successfully without asking for his help. And then you must submit to his purpose, exactly as Christ did. One current example, last week, many Christian sports fans faced a dilemma. An annual event occurred last Sunday night. Can you imagine how many people were thinking, this is tough. Go to church. I know that's good. I know that's important. Stay home and watch the Super Bowl. That seems so urgent. It only happens once a year. Now, thankfully, I can honestly say I didn't discern any drop in attendance last Sunday night. I commend you. I did notice the exit lines did seem to go a little faster than usual. But we face a similar dilemma every day. We'll face it again tonight. No Super Bowl going on, but chances are there will be some other pressing issue that comes up. I think I'll stay home. Or I'll think I'll do something else. And it's going to happen again Wednesday night. Oh, prayer meeting. You know, that's not very exciting. Some of the things I need to do these. And chances are you're just guessing. How can you know? You must start the day as Christ did. Now, we don't get repeated examples of this in Christ's life, but I am willing to guess this was his pattern every single day. Maybe some days he didn't need to rise while it's still dark. Maybe there were some days the schedule was such that he could get it in a more ordinary time. But he had to have a time. He had to find a place. He had to devote himself to God. Now, if the Savior had to do that, how can you hope to have a successful day without following his pattern? Think back through your morning procedure in recent days, even this past week. How many of those did you go through the whole day just guessing that this would be the best thing to do? Every decision. Possibility you wasted some opportunities, made some wrong choices, got off the path. Oh, that's already in the past. What can we do about that? You can ask forgiveness. Lord, I think I got off the path some this past week, and I know why. I forgot to connect with you and offer myself as your servant. So, Lord, I don't want that to happen this week. I want your help right now as I commit myself to devote myself to you every day. You can't do it today and have it cover all this week. This has got to be every morning. Will you make that commitment to God right now? You'll need his help to do it. And that's what he offers at this moment. He offers the help to do it every day. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you for this example from our Savior. Thank you for these quiet moments when we have all just now had opportunity to respond to your word, to admit to you that we know why we may have missed some ministry opportunities this week and made some wrong choices, and to ask your forgiveness. Now, Father, we depend upon you. We need your help. First, that we not forget this tomorrow morning. Father, even if we remember it, we need your help to do it. Follow the example of our Savior. To pray as he did. To devote ourselves to you. Father, we pray that you would then use that choice first thing every morning this week to enable us to follow your path each day. To be confident that we are where you want us to be, encountering the people you want us to talk to, and accomplishing your purpose for us. We pray in Jesus' name.